So naturally we would come to work at 7:30 or 7 o'clock in the morning when the time required us to be here. Now, in relation to the X-1, they would tow the X-1 up in the pit, let it down, and I always, when the X-1 left the hangar, I always made it a point to either be on the wing or in the cockpit of the airplane, tow it up to the pit.
Why?
Well, I like to see that it was working okay and to see how, actually to help them in loading the airplane, because to me it was quite a feat to put an airplane. Very interesting to watch, and the precision it took to get that thing in there the first time. And our crew, Jack Russell and Garth Dale and Woods, all, any time that they drug the B-29 out over the pit without having the backup start over again, and then loaded the X-1 without having to lower it in any way, they really got a sense of achievement out there when they really get it laid together nice. So I'd usually try to ride up with the X-1, and then going up, I would always trying to memorize the systems and getting familiar with the cockpit, knowing where every switch was and any changes it made since the last flight. And get up, we'd back it into the... Actually, that airplane always gave you... once you got to know it, the systems, and it was a small, when you did ride in the cockpit, it just always gave you a friendly feeling to it. And you'd look around how it was made, and it was always cold. I mean, the feeling, the temperature was always cool in the cockpit because of the liquid oxygen and the vast nitrogen expanding, and always real heavy and pretty solid and well insulated. So we put it in the pit. They'd bring the B-29 up after they'd pre-flighted it down to the other end of the raft and see that everything was okay. Bring it up, put it over the pit, and then they'd put the sling hoist around the X-1 and raise it. And it had to jiggle it around to get the bomb shackle to fit down in. Once they got the bomb shackle fit into it, then they would latch the bomb shackle. And then they would put the safety pin in. And I'd always either be standing there under a wing or shaking the X-1 or helping them with the switches, raising the front or back. Usually the guys are real nice to me, the crew, and they'd let me, each time they loaded the airplane, they'd let me do a different job. So I'd get the feel of all of them. I locked the shackle a couple times. I was on the hoist to raise the nose and the tail. And after we got the airplane up in and secured, tightened down the sway braces. Then I'd get in the airplane and load up the first stage to 1,500 pounds. At 1,500 pounds.
What is that, loading up the first stage?
Well, just consisted of getting in there and opening a needle valve and letting pressure into this dome, which brought your dome pressure up to about 1,650 pounds, would give you a 1,500 pound line pressure constant. That 1,500 pounds, of course, was to raise the gear and flat. Then I would put the gear handle in the up position, and the gear would come up and lock. And then it would lower the gear and see that it was operating, functioning properly, and then raise the gear again, and it was up and locked, and fill the dome and get out of the cockpit. And then usually, at that time, they back the B-29 off the pit. I'd usually get up into the B-29 to operate the brakes in case the tug bar broke or something. They'd stop the B-29 to hurry. Back it off, turn the B-29 X-1 around backwards, then back it up, towed it up in head first between the two big tanks, one liquid oxygen and the other one liquid nitrogen. Then they would bring the alcohol truck up after they had connected the nitrogen line, start pumping the gas into the nitrogen system under high pressure. Then they'd connect up the liquid oxygen lines into the lock tank, and then they'd bring it small tanker up that had the alcohol and water in it, and then fill the alcohol and water tank all the way full. And I'd usually be standing around watching this or observing it. Randy and I'd be sitting there talking.
The flight,
what our proposed flight was, and what we had done.
Work out a plan, and what were you doing?
Well, I'll get to that in a minute on a flight plan. But then they would start to put liquid oxygen into the tank. Now, that would take about an hour. So Jack and I would go down to our room and change clothes. I'd get all my flight gear, and since I was wearing a pressure suit most of the time, I'd have to get into the pressure suit, which would take about 30 minutes and get all prepared with all my equipment. And at that time, I would have my card as to what I was supposed to do that day, at what point I was supposed to turn the recorders on and the data switches and so on. And I would either, for what the flight plan called for. I'd go over that a couple times to make sure I had it in my mind, and then take it back with me. And Jack and I would discuss about if certain things would happen, say if the airplane pitched up, I would cut the power off and get the nose up as soon as possible, or if it starts tucking on me, cut the power and roll the stabilizer in. And if things got out of hand, to lower the gear, to slow the airplane down, anything to slow it down. Then we'd go back up to the B-29 about 15 minutes before they got the lock stopped off, and all the time they're working on the instrumentation, see. Zero, calibrating the control positions and all the pressures and getting everything ship-shaped and their films loaded. And at the last minute, when they get the lock topped off, they've got the nitrogen pressure up to par. I used to take my helmet and put the oxygen mask inside of it and take and put it up in the back of the cockpit of the X-1 where I had a place I could fasten it there and it wouldn't roll out or bounce out or lose it out of the cockpit. And I'd check inside the cockpit of the X-1, stand there as they were backing it out. I usually ride in it, have my chute upstairs in the B-29. And I'd go check all the switches to see that they were in the position that they were supposed to be in when I got in the cockpit. Check all the gear handles and all my pressures, see that I had good bleed pressure. I always put nitrogen through the motor so it wouldn't let the alcohol and liquid oxygen mix. And then at the last minute, I climb up the ladder and get up in the vomit there in the navigator's compartment. And Jack Ridley would either be riding in the co-pilot seat normally with Cardi that's flying it on the first flight. Later on, Jack flew the B-29 all the time. Then you'd sit there, and, they'd fire up the B-29, and you know how the engines sound on it. They'd plop, 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 plop. You sit there looking out the back through there, and you can see the X-1 sitting there, and that hole on the liquid oxygen tank is vented to the outside, so you see this fog coming out of it. And you look at it, you can smell alcohol around in the cockpit, and